Welcome to all you manly men out there. This is the Catholic Man Show, and we are on the Lord's team, the winning side, so we raise our glass. I'm Adam Minahan.
I'm David Niles.
And we are the hosts of the Catholic Man Show. So welcome to everybody for the first-time listeners, whether you found us on iTunes or Facebook or Instagram or Twitter. We welcome all. St. Michael Catholic Radio, Breadbox Media, anybody, we welcome you. Thank you for tuning in.
Yeah. Thanks for listening to our show.
So what we do in the Catholic Man Show, if this is the first time.
Sorry, I was distracted.
Yeah,
was,
you were distracted.
I was Googling things.
Oh, man. Preparation.
It's really, okay. It's really hard to have a conversation yourself, huh?
Yeah, it is. If this is your first time to listen to the Catholic Man Show, we do three things. We have a manly beverage, we have a manly gear, and we have a manly topic. We do three manly things every episode.
Three is a good number.
Three is a good number.
I like it when things happen in threes.
Except when you were the age of three.
I didn't know that.
Because you
were
talking
about
the odd numbers.
Yeah. See, I wasn't worried about it back then.
Back then, okay.
I don't know when I started having that weird, like, discomfort
of
dislike, whatever you want to call it. I don't know.
cheers to Jesus, Dave.
Cheers. Well,
cheers to Jesus.
We don't even have anything to cheers with yet.
Okay, so let's go ahead.
Yeah.
Let's start off with number one.
I want to.
Oh, whoa. Whoa.
Whoa. That was close.
Yeah,
we almost forgot.
You would think that by, you know, this is probably like our 16th or 17th episode, we would have this down, but clearly not. Clearly not, because we almost forgot.
Dang.
Go ahead, man.
Okay, warning. The Catholic Man Show has started. This is a very, very manly show. I'm telling you, our levels of manliness are so high, they could be potentially toxic to some individuals who are susceptible to high levels of manliness. If you are one of these individuals, please be warned. Bare minimum, turn the volume down. Hmm. That's a bare minimum, I think, just to be safe.
Yeah.
Because we don't want to hurt anybody. Obviously, we say that every time, but that's because we mean it.
That's right.
So anyway, this is not a politically correct show.
No.
And if you don't agree with everything we say, that's okay.
Yeah.
You know, we're not going to agree with everybody. And we're not trying to agree with everybody.
No. No, because...
if I hurt your feelings, I really don't...
I'm sorry.
Yeah, I just don't care.
Because masculinity has been so perverted in today's society
mm-hmm.
that there's such a lack thereof.
Yeah. There's some people out there who need a proverbial punch in the face.
Yes. So that's what the Catholic Man Show is.
Yeah. So I just, like, if God wants to use us... To proverbially?
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah. Punch someone in the face. Boom. I'm here to do it.
There you go.
I'm not holding back, Jesus. I'm your dude.
Okay. So
let's drink some whiskey.
So tell them what it is. Dave, tell them what it is.
Okay. This is another example of the Gaelic version of English not knowing how to spell anything.
Mm-hmm.
The whiskey, because we looked it up on YouTube, Harrison Garlick, with that episode I did with him a couple weeks ago, we mentioned how there's this, you know, the guy on YouTube, and we should look up who he is, but he's a famous actor. Everybody would recognize him. He was in the Bourne series.
Right.
He just pronounces whiskey names for you.
Right.
And this one is pronounced Kulaila.
Kulaila.
It's two words. Kulaila. Kulaila.
Kulaila.
It almost... feels Jamaican when you say it like that. Oh, it's Kulaila, man, you know. But it's spelled C-A-O-L. Cool.
Space.
I-L-A. Isla. I'm okay with Isla.
Yeah, I can get Isla.
But the cool, I don't know.
I would not have said that.
It's a scotch. It's a 12-year.
Mm-hmm.
Single malt.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously. And I've never had it before. I don't know anything about it.
I've had it.
But Adam, he's like, hey, let's drink this. And said... Okay.
Yeah, I'm a fan of it. It is... Okay, so last week we had a awesome scotch. Probably one of my favorites. That Glenfiddich 12-year U.S. exclusive.
14-year.
I'm sorry, 14-year.
Yeah.
Yeah, U.S. exclusive. And it is just very smooth. There's no peat to it. No smokiness. However, this
I poured
one,
you a little bit more than me. I just got to make it, you know, equitable.
Okay. But this one is a little different than that. Mm-hmm. In fact, it's on the opposite spectrum.
For a reason.
Yes.
We'll get to that.
Right. So, we're on the Lord's team.
The winning side.
So raise your glass.
Cheers to Jesus and Our Lady.
And Our Lady. What are your thoughts?
It's a very warm flavor. I'm going to have to, not knowing anything about it, I didn't even really smell it first. I should have, but we're here on the air. And
right. Dead air. Yeah, doesn't make it good.
All right, guys, listen to me smell my whiskey.
Right.
It just sounds weird. So let me tell you what I think in a second.
Okay. So what I think is it instantly hits you with the smokiness, mm-hmm. even on the smell.
It's not even half as smoky as the Laphroaig.
Right.
Or even the Bunahabin that we tried. I actually had some Bunahabin earlier today. Yeah, kind of earlier on.
Mm-hmm.
That one is very smoky, and I was having it in comparison to the Laphroaig.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very comparable, the Bunahabin, as far as the smokiness goes, which I found interesting. Because I thought the Laphroaig would be way more than just about anything else.
Mm-hmm. I get a little bit like at the beginning it's not bad, like as far as like there's no peppery or anything like
no,
that.
No, it's not peppery, but it is smoky.
Uh-huh. At the end I do taste more of there's more of a kick to it.
Mm-hmm.
The finish there is a kick to it to me. But the beginning of it is actually there is almost like a sweetness at the beginning.
Yeah, so it's vanilla.
Mm-hmm.
Right off the bat.
Okay. Yes. I agree with that.
Let me take another sip.
Okay. But I do think that at the end, it is a little bit more pepper, cracked pepper, smoky bite to it. So if you're not a fan of that kind of scotch, this isn't going to be one for you. If you don't like the Bunahabin or the Laphroaig, you probably won't like this one either.
Well, I don't know. I would give this one a shot because this one is significantly less smoky than those other two.
In fact, maybe this would be a stepping stone to those.
Yeah.
Would be a better explanation.
And it seems that the longer you drink scotch, especially scotch, more than bourbon,
because
bourbons aren't known for their smokiness, you know, but it seems like the longer you drink scotch, eventually everybody comes around to being, and that's probably not true universally, but it kind of seems that way. It seems at least that most people come around anyway, and maybe that's why feel like that's a thing.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think it does, too. It's very similar to beer, like whenever you first start with beer and you're drinking Bud Light, Coors Light, whatever you're
right.
drinking, and
yeah.
then you kind of graduate into more of the microbrews.
Yeah, when you think you get Budweiser, Bud Heavy, it's like, ooh, man, that's a full-body beer right there.
Right, exactly. Exactly. And then you get into more IPAs, different ales.
I will say, though,
stouts,
when they renamed it America for the summer,
yeah,
I haven't bought any, but it did make me want
it
to.
It did make me too, like, yeah, I did too.
Oh, that is effective.
Yes.
I want to drink America.
Yeah, that is pretty good. That is pretty good.
But I think when you drink whiskey, we haven't really talked about this before, and I don't know why, the different parts of your tongue are going to pick up on different flavors of the whiskey. You know, when you drink pop is a very front of the tongue beverage.
Mm.
And I remember my first beer. This is a revelation that I discovered my first beer.
Okay.
I was 15. I think I've told this story before. So my 15th birthday, my grandpa gave me a beer.
Right.
He gave me a Pig's Eye.
Yeah.
Which is
terrible.
Yeah. And I started drinking it like a pop, you know, right here on the front of the tongue.
Mm-hmm.
And it was even more terrible than what it is normally.
Right.
Then I realized if you tilt your head back more and have beer be a back-of-the-tongue beverage, especially a Pig's Eye,
mm-hmm.
it was a lot better.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just because different parts of your tongue pick up on different flavors. And so when I drink this whiskey, right off the bat, and I think a lot of times what they mean is that first flavor,
mm-hmm.
that's what do you get off the front of your tongue? What do you get off the back of your tongue? So if you hold it in your mouth, right there on the front, you can sit there and taste the vanilla. At least that's what I taste. And then as you start to swallow, there's other flavors that even though when you're sitting there with it in your mouth, you're not picking up. But then
there's
on the way down, okay, maybe there's a little bit more. I get some floral notes. off the bat.
I also get at the very end, very wood, very woody.
Yeah.
Like you can taste it, the barrels.
Yeah.
From there.
Mm-hmm.
So I definitely catch that.
And that's a common flavor in whiskey, obviously, because
it's
been in wood for a while.
Right.
This one for 12 years.
Right. Yeah, I agree. So try them out. Like, so our whole idea of this is for men to get together. Like, we have several men's groups we've talked about on the show before. And to try these out together and let us know how they are. You know, so it'd be cool if you guys were trying these out and then posted on our Facebook page or shot us an email and said, hey, here's my thoughts on these.
Also, if you guys have, like, a favorite beverage, a favorite beer or whiskey or whatever manly drink that you enjoy, let us know, because if you tell us, we'll do it. We'll drink it.
Yeah, we'll probably, and especially if you
send
it to us. And
we'll talk about it. Oh, if you send it to us, we'll definitely drink it.
So, yeah, send it to us, and we'll definitely highlight it on our show.
Yeah.
That would be awesome.
If you can't send it to us, at least tell us about it, and we'll drink it.
Hey, we also are getting Catholic Man Show
T-shirts.
That's going to be sweet.
I can't wait.
Yeah, me either. So when we get back, let's go over the man gear.
I wear shirts all the time.
Yeah, thank goodness.
Almost every day.
I'm really glad you do.
Yeah.
We'll be right back with the Catholic man gear. We're on the Lord's team.
The winning side.
So raise your glass.
We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Catholic Man Show. I'm David Niles, sitting here with Adam Menahan, enjoying a delicious whiskey. This is segment two. We're about to dive into the man gear.
Yes.
I like manly gear.
Yes, which is why we do
which
it.
Which is why we talk about it.
And this one I'm especially excited about.
Why?
Because it's one that I really, really like.
Yeah, I do too.
To the point where I sacrifice a lot. To do it.
I'll get up in the middle of the night.
But first,
just to, like,
hold on.
Use this.
Whoa. First, we have to recognize another manly dude.
There are many manly dudes out there, but there is one that we need to... Well, don't we have two? Do we have two?
We have two, yes.
We have two, yeah.
Well, the first one, though, Wes.
In Chatham.
In Chatham, Illinois. Dude, you are a manly dude.
That was another thing we had to look up how to say correctly.
Yeah, Chatham. But... He is a Catholic Man Show apologist.
Because he told...
Brian Davis.
Yeah.
To listen to our show.
And then Brian Davis gave us a sweet review.
Right. So...
So you guys rock.
You guys both rock.
See what I mean, guys?
Yeah. That's what we do. That's what we do here on the...
We will make you famous. We will say your name on air.
That's just what we do here on the Catholic Man Show. We make men more manly.
Did you guys know that we have a priest in Norway who listens to the show?
Yes, we do.
That's awesome.
I can't even remember his name, but Father in Norway.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Okay. Yeah, it's Father.
Yeah, Father.
Yeah, you know, Father. Right. He and I, we go way back.
Yeah. So, yeah, I guess we are, the Catholic Mentors International.
Yeah. I mean, that's what it means to be in another country.
Yeah. So.
I've never encountered another definition anyway.
Me either.
The Olympics are over, dude.
Yeah, the closing ceremony. So it were this last Sunday.
On Sunday, yeah. It's kind of sad because I've really enjoyed watching us win. Speaking of international, you know.
Yeah, it was really cool to. Oh, man, I tell you what though, that
we really won this year by a lot,
by a whole lot.
Like in the last Winter Olympics, China was hanging in there a little closer, but not this year. It's like no big deal.
No. So another guy who. Kind of gave us the idea. I mean, we've talked about it before, but really pushed us to use this man gear today.
So really, we have three dudes.
Yeah, we had three dudes.
Wes and Brian.
Leonardo Estrada posted on our Facebook page.
That's a pretty sweet name.
It's a really sweet name. Posted on our Facebook page and give us a suggestion for the Catholic man gear, which we had talked about before.
Uh-huh.
But it kind of brought it back to the front of our minds.
I kind of forgot about even doing this as a man gear.
Right. So here it is. It is the smoker.
Yeah.
Which is something that I absolutely love doing. I love smoking, like...
It just always turns out so good.
Oh, man, I just love smoking. Like, I like getting it just a huge, either rack of ribs or...
Or pork butt shoulder.
Yeah, and just throwing it on. So, the last time I smoked some meat, it was on my birthday.
On your birthday.
At my birthday party. And
it's
delicious. I got a huge... I mean, it was a huge piece of meat.
In fact, it's funny that this is the man gear because I don't have a smoker. Back when we used to live together, you had a smoker, and so I just used yours.
Right.
And I've never got one, and just this week I was thinking, I need to go get a smoker because my birthday's coming up, and I was thinking about doing the same thing.
Like, oh, man, it is.
And just trying to make the stuff that I smoked better than what you did.
Yeah, which wouldn't be tough.
No,
I mean,
it would not be easy.
I mean, I've done so smoking meat is like, it's a commitment, both financially and time.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it costs quite a bit of money to get, you know, to get some meat, but then the prep time, you know, I got up at like 4 o'clock in the morning, or actually 3:30 in the morning, got it finished, prepped, put it on the smoker.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have to let it smoke. You have to keep the temperature correct. So what I like about the gear is that it takes time. You have to persevere through the whole thing.
Yeah, it takes dedication.
It takes dedication. Mm-hmm. Takes commitment to do it. Patience, because it's really frustrating when your temperature all of a sudden drops. In fact, the last time I did it, it started to rain. In fact, I went to Mass. I caught Mass in the morning. And in the middle of Mass, all of a sudden I heard downpour of rain. And I'm thinking, I have my meat out there.
Great. Yeah.
And it's smoking. And so I had to...
Because that will make the temperature drop.
It dropped it quick.
Oh, yeah.
And so I had it, you know, right after Mass, I ran home real quick, and I made a, if you remember, I sent you a picture of it. I put a umbrella up on a chair and then tied strings anchoring it out everywhere.
Right. Yeah.
So that way an umbrella would cover my smoker.
It was pretty good. I liked it.
It's called Southern Engineering.
Yeah. Good old fashioned ingenuity.
Yeah. So, but, you know, it takes a long time. And there's a lot of trial and error through it.
Mm-hmm.
Even whenever you don't do well on it, you have to improve.
Yeah, and you have to prepare ahead of time. You know, you have to get all the wood, and if you're going to use chips, for another
injecting it. If you inject it,
I've never done that, but
I did the last
always
one.
Always sounds fun.
Yeah. So you have to get all the ingredients. You have to prepare for it, and then
I've always wanted to do a brine where you soak it in there for like 24 hours.
I normally do that.
Typically just done a rub.
Yeah, I normally do a brine because
did you do that on your birthday?
No, I actually used a rub on that one.
Uh-huh.
But anyway, it takes a long time to do. And
but they're awesome. It's like
the finish is amazing.
Yeah, and it's just it's an awesome thing to do and just sit outside and drink a beer and just watch it.
In fact, one of my favorite things to do while smoking is to
smoke a pipe.
Is to grab my Bible.
Smoke while smoking.
And grab my pipe and sit outside. In fact, when I did it the last time, it was right before the sun was coming up.
Hmm.
And there are very few times that I get up.
I was going to say you were up that early.
Yeah, there are very few times that I do that.
It's weird.
So
for you.
I had to like take it all in.
Right.
I don't do this very often.
Right.
So, like,
it feels good to get up that early.
It does. And I ran
once
inside
you're
real
up.
Quick. Yeah,
once
I
you're
ran
up.
In, ran inside real quick, grabbed my Bible, grabbed my pipe, and I was like, this is going to be a time. And I turned to Genesis, you know, turned at the very beginning and read the creation story.
Uh-huh.
As the sun was coming up,
oh, that's kind of cool.
You hear the birds chirping.
Yeah.
I mean, you just hear, like, God's creation starting the day, and I was reading Genesis. It was just, dude, it was awesome.
That is cool.
You know, and you hear, you smell the meat on the grill. Oh, it was just sweet.
I love praying while smoking my pipe. I mean, I'm not kidding. It's some of my favorite prayer time.
Yeah, me too. I mean,
in the evening, just go outside, have a smoke,
right?
Have some prayer.
And I definitely, you know, we have to say, obviously, in everything we do on the Catholic Mantra is in moderation.
Sure.
So we're not advocating, you know, anything that's not in moderation.
Yeah.
Including smoking pipes or anything else. So, but...
Correct.
The last time I smoked that big piece of meat, it was not my best, but it was pretty good.
Oh, it was delicious.
It was really good.
I had seconds.
And so
We also had a keg that day for your birthday.
Yeah, a little pony keg.
What was the beer?
Titan IPA.
Yeah, that was a good one.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of the Great Divide Brewery.
No doubt.
They're in Denver, Colorado. Mm-hmm. In fact, Andrew Whaley from The Counter Position, who's on Redbox Media, is from Denver, lives in Denver, so he probably knows a lot about the Great Divide. Hopefully he likes it.
I'm sure he does.
He's a pretty manly dude.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that wouldn't surprise me.
He also likes coffee.
Yeah, another thing that I really like. In fact, dude, let me give you a little secret on smoking meat.
Okay.
I use coffee in my rub.
Really?
Yes.
I have an espresso. I don't remember if it's a vinegar or an oil that I got from this place in Michigan. I think it's a vinegar.
Mm-hmm.
Espresso bean vinegar. And it is fantastic. Yeah, it is a vinegar because I use it in marinades for steaks.
Mm.
And fantastic thing to add to a steak because, you know, you need to add an acid.
Right.
So you need a vinegar typically. But adding the espresso in there with the steak, I'm telling you, it's fantastic.
It's really good.
Yeah.
It's like one of those things. I looked up a bunch of different, you know, there's Pitmaster grills, like, mm-hmm. I mean, you know, pitmasters that like put out videos on here's how I do it. Everybody has their own way of doing it. I think
right.
They're all really good. Mm-hmm. You know, there's not there's very few ways to mess it up. One of the main things though to make sure to not mess it up at the end, it's the resting period.
You got to let it
there's
rest.
There's tons of people who don't realize.
Yeah, let's just cut into it right now.
Right.
No.
So as soon as, you know, after the typically 8 to 12 hours of smoking, you take it off, wrap it up in foil, then wrap it up in cloth, and then put it in a cooler or something where it contains the heat, and let it sit mm-hmm. for like 2 hours. And you let it sit for like 2 hours. And that keeps the moisture in. It doesn't allow, because if you start cutting into it, all the moisture is going to seep out of it.
Right.
It like kind of solidifies all the moisture.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a little tip.
I agree.
There you go, guys.
Yeah.
You can look that up on YouTube, and like, everybody would tell you that, so it's not really, I guess, that much of a secret.
Well, that's not a secret, but the coffee was the secret, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Do you think there's caffeine in the meat when you use coffee? Do you actually use grounds, like coffee grounds?
Yes, I do.
That'd be sweet to add caffeine to your meat. This is the best meat, guys. I feel ready to go.
But this is a, I think every man should experience the time it takes, like, you just appreciate the meat a lot more. You appreciate the
dinner
a lot
more. Well, and let's
just
be honest. It's better out of a smoker.
Right.
It's just, everything is tender. Like, remember when you did beer can chicken?
Right.
Yeah. Just stick a beer can mm-hmm. in the opening of a whole chicken and smoke it.
Mm-hmm.
It's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
It's the best chicken ever.
But I think every man should, like, take some time, smoke some meat, and just enjoy the process.
It's important to know how to grill, like, or smoke. I can't cook anything in the kitchen.
Right.
I mean, like,
you're terrible.
I don't exaggerate.
Right.
I'm terrible, but I can smoke and grill.
Yeah, mac and cheese is about your max.
I pour a mean bowl of cereal.
Right. So stick around because our man topic is going to be awesome. One of the Lord's team, the winning side.
Raise your glass.
Welcome back from the commercial break. This is the Catholic Man Show. We're on the Lord's team, the winning side, and we raise our glass. I also want to give a shout out to a very manly man, Patrick Coffin.
Yeah, sure. We'll shout out to him.
Who promoted the
and
Catholic...
Pope Francis. Shout out to Pope Francis.
Yeah. Yes.
He called me this morning.
Hey, guess what?
I was too busy
guess
to take
what else?
His call.
Oh, wait. Let me finish with Patrick Coffin.
Okay. I was just kidding anyway.
Yeah, I know. No one believed
totally
you.
Making it up.
There's not one listener that believed you.
I know.
Out of the four listeners, not one of them
yeah.
believed you. But Patrick Coffin gave us a shout out about a month and a half ago on Catholic Answers.
Right.
And you guys, if you haven't checked it out, go to our Facebook page because we have it. Because, of course, we grabbed it and put it on our Facebook page. Mm-hmm. You can find it. It's at the very top there. But another thing, another manly dude I'm going to be talking to soon is Father Donald Calloway. Dude,
oh, yeah,
I'm about
yeah,
to
yeah.
interview him.
That'll be cool.
This week, I'm interviewing him.
What are you going
to
ask him?
We're going to talk about his new book, Champions of the Rosary, which is a sweet book. It is a manly book.
Sounds manly. It's a good topic.
It's considered the most comprehensive book on the rosary ever written.
Really?
Yes. It's been endorsed by like over, I think it was like 12 cardinals and 30 bishops. And I mean, the endorsements on it is just a mile long.
Wow.
Father Donald Calloway has a sweet conversion story if you haven't heard it before.
So is it apologetic?
So it's broken down into three parts. It's the history of the rosary,
mm-hmm.
champions of the rosary. So
am I in there?
No. No, you were you were on the quick cutting list. He cut you out like almost instantly.
Originally I was in the book, but I was edited out.
Actually, as they started compiling the list, you were already cut.
Oh.
Yeah, so I hate to break that to you. So so they have like I think it has 20 champions of the rosary, and then how to pray the rosary and how to use the rosary.
That's cool.
It's a great book. So anyway, I'm interviewing him as a...
You know how I use the rosary? I pray it.
That's the best way to use it.
Yeah.
So I'm doing a Catholic Man Show exclusive interview, and you can hear it if you become a friend of the show. Go to Breadbox Media, and if you donate $10 a month, you become a friend of the show, and you get interviews like this sent to you.
So, I was about to say for free,
but it's not for free.
$10 a month.
Yeah, $10 a month. So it helps us.
And all that money does not go to us. We don't keep that money.
No, it helps with the...
We don't even use it to buy the whiskey.
No, we don't. But it helps us with equipment and things like that whenever we need it. And mm-hmm. So.
And it'll probably end up going back to our other apostolate, which is Catholic Radio here in Tulsa.
Right. So it's a great cause.
Because if you guys don't know, Adam and I run the Catholic radio station here in Tulsa. Mm-hmm. If you're in Tulsa, you probably know that. But if you're not in Tulsa...
You don't know that.
Yeah. And we have more and more listeners outside of Tulsa.
Yeah, which is crazy.
All the time. Yeah.
So, like Wes and Brian.
In
Illinois.
Chatham.
Illinois.
Dang it.
Yes. So, Dave, let's talk about... Okay, so
We're talking about men today for the topic.
Yeah. A lot of our topics talk about like specific virtues.
Right.
This topic, this manly topic, is about men who have carried out those virtues, mm-hmm. who fought the good fight.
Yeah, so I want to talk about St. Augustine of Hippo.
Right, and so the whole purpose of this is to, like, men, we need good role models.
Right.
And the only, like, what better role models than the ones who have already fought the good fight, uh-huh. ran the race, and are in front of the beatific vision.
And especially today, I think St. Augustine is a particularly good role model because I don't know any guys who haven't been St. Augustine at mm-hmm. some point. You know,
their
culture used to...
quote-unquote Augustinian years.
Right, exactly. Yeah, that's a good way to put it. Mine went on a little too long, unfortunately.
So did mine.
But, you know, the culture used to uphold virtue
right.
in general. And so it used to be that you could grow up and, you know, have stayed in the church, never have, you know, had your Augustinian years,
right,
so to speak. But today, I just don't see that happening. And I'm not saying it doesn't happen, because I'm sure, for instance, my wife, she was a perfect angel mm-hmm. basically her whole life, which is weird.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I thank God for that. But if that story is a seldom story, unfortunately.
Right. So for those who have... for those who don't know who St. Augustine is.
So St. Augustine lived in the 4th century,
mm-hmm.
very early on. His mother was also a saint.
St. Monica. And there are some women that are listening to the Catholic Man Show. So
if you have a son who was me 10 years ago, just pray to St. Monica. I'm sure, mm-hmm. I haven't asked her, but I'm sure my mom was praying to St. Monica.
Right.
So St. Augustine grew up Christian. When he became a teenager...
I don't even think...
His mom was Christian.
Right. But he wasn't baptized or anything like that yet.
No, but, you know, he wasn't anti-Christian He wasn't a pagan, for instance. So anyway, but he left the faith. He did.
Yes.
And just lived a very secular life.
Mm-hmm.
When he was...
Got caught up in like a desire of like fame and fortune and, mm-hmm. you know...
So yeah, he had the gift of rhetoric, mm-hmm. which is much... Is a much bigger deal back then.
Actually, it probably should be a big deal now, and it's just not.
Right.
I think our society has just kind of dumbed itself down a little bit.
Yeah, and yeah, you're right. In fact, it should be more of a big deal now, since when you say something, it's on the internet, and it could be perceived by everyone.
Right.
It drives me crazy when people say things. It's you have not thought that through.
I think like critical thinking, rhetoric, and philosophy are like three things that we just don't do as a society today.
Right. And I personally really identify with him because I have the gift of argumentation. It's just...
Is argumentation... Yeah.
I don't know. It's a word. We can use it that way. Argumentation's a word. But whenever I hear someone say things, the mm-hmm. first thing that pops into my head are all of the exceptions to whatever they just said.
It drives me crazy sometimes.
Well, I've had to really learn to, like, pull that back, rein it in a little bit, you know? But it does facilitate my ability to critique logically an argument.
Mm-hmm.
So for
that's very true.
I'm very good at that.
Mm-hmm.
St. Augustine was very good at that.
Yes.
And he was able to argue any position.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you want him to argue? You know, he could argue both sides of a topic and
right.
win. Didn't matter what the truth was for him.
Right.
He could argue it. In fact, he was known for being able to convince someone. I mean, this is kind of a cliche or, you know, over-exaggeration, but it's said that he could convince a man to put his own mother in, to put their own mother in jail because he was just so persuasive.
The whole, like, sell a snail salt.
Right, yeah. Which would be bad for a snail.
Right.
Yeah. So anyway, he lived a life of the flesh for many years.
Mm-hmm.
When he took a mistress mm-hmm. who was a slave girl, his slave, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
And they lived together for 15 years. They had, and she bore him a son.
Mm-hmm.
And then one day, he got involved with the Manichaean
mm-hmm.
Heresy, which
right.
was a dualist kind of. They're very similar to the dualists. You might as well just lump them in with the group that said dualists are the kind of thinking that says spirit good, body bad.
Right.
And basically that's what they were saying. They kind of put a more intelligent spin on it, tried to explain it a little bit more.
Mm-hmm.
And the Manichaeists were...
Which is why St. Augustine like was attracted to
right,
that at first.
Because they were promoting themselves as the religion for the intellectually superior.
Right.
And he was intellectually superior, so he's like, all right, well, maybe these guys will get it. So he went, kind of got involved with them for a while, and then he met the higher-ups.
Because they were asking him to be a high priest.
Right. And that's when he realized, these guys really aren't that smart. They
right.
really don't know what they're talking about. And so he left.
Mm-hmm.
Long story short, he ended up one day hearing the voice of a child say, tell him, tole lege, which is Latin for take and read. And he was kind of already coming back to Christianity.
Like making a full circle.
Yeah, much due to the help of St. Ambrose,
mm-hmm.
who met and
he
became
a bishop.
His friend. Yeah, who's also a bishop. St. Augustine did go on to become a bishop. And St. Ambrose, also a very intellectual guy, brought him around and kind of showed him that if you really want the religion for the intelligent, it is Christianity. You know, because we have philosophy, we have science. We don't
truth.
We don't shy away. Yeah, and that's why. It's because we have the truth, right?
Right.
So... He heard this child say, take and read. He picked up the Bible, which is what the child had in his hand, and opened right up to Romans, you know, the verse that just said, don't live a life of debauchery and drunkenness and licentiousness.
Mm-hmm.
And so he started to live his life by that. It was a answered prayer to his mother.
Yeah, 30 years.
His mother
she
had been praying
for like
forever.
30 years.
Forever.
You think your prayer doesn't get, like, answered quickly.
Yeah, how many people would keep praying for something for that long?
Yeah, well,
you know,
that's
after
why she's also a saint.
After a year, it's like, God, I've been praying for this for a year. Like,
right.
What's the holdup, man?
Right.
God's timing is better than our timing. So anyway, the reason I relate to him is because in college, you know, I stopped going to church. I just kind of did my own thing. And now it just feels so good to be back in the church, to be,
oh, man,
you know, dedicated to God, to living a virtuous life. And even though I'm not perfect, believe it or not, it just, you know, it just feels good to be in the church.
Right.
Because God made me to be in the church.
Also, St. Augustine's feast day.
Is the 28th.
Is the 28th. This month.
Right.
So.
Just a couple days.
Right. Just in just a few days. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Which is why we, you know, that was
on Sunday. Sunday, I believe. Yeah.
Okay. So, when we get back, we'll go through another saint, another role model that all men should have.
Mm-hmm.
So stick around so you can hear about that.
Another good one.
We're on the Lord's team.
The winning side.
So everybody, raise your glass.
I am. I'm going to do it right now. Cheers! Woo-hoo! Welcome back to the Catholic Man Show. I'm David Niles, sitting here with Adam Minahan, per use. We just finished up talking about St. Augustine. It was a very brief talk. I wish we had more time to talk about him, but we've got another major saint we need to get to today. But just to recap, there's a couple things I didn't get to mention just because of time. Two of St. Augustine's best works were the Confessions, which is it's a long work, which he starts off as an autobiography, talking about his past. And it's full of tangents, where he gets into some theology about understanding yourself from a Trinitarian perspective. And then he also wrote another book, which is fantastic, called The City of God. Adam, I think you've actually read some of the Confessions.
Yes, I'm like halfway. It's like one of those books I started about a year ago. Maybe even a year and a half ago. I'm only about halfway through.
Well, they're long, aren't they?
Well, it's The City of God. His book, The City of God, is a lot longer. But it's just one of those books. I always have multiple books that I'm reading at a time.
I know.
And so
Know why I do that, but I do.
Yeah, me too. And so it's just one of those books that I don't pick up all the time. And the language is, you know, it's very deep.
Isn't it these and thous and...
If you get, like, I think the unabridged version or
well,
whatever.
Anyway. He didn't write it in English.
Right. So, but our other man, so we need a cheers to...
Oh, and, so let's cheers to St. Augustine.
Yeah, cheers to St. Augustine.
Who is patron saint of brewers, among other things, but, and beer.
Right.
According to one website.
Brewers and beer, yeah.
Which is manly, so I'll drink to that.
Mm-hmm. Our other saint that we're highlighting today... that we want you guys to know about, is St. Maximilian Kolbe.
Mm-hmm.
Which
Kolbe, tomato, tomato, I don't know.
He's one of my favorite saints. I don't know if I've told you that before.
Yeah, I knew that.
Okay. His feast day was August 14th, so it was this month as well. Mm-hmm. They're both, like, two...
August has a lot of really good feast days.
Yeah, strong saints in August. In fact, one of my cousins, his name is Kolbe... named after Maximilian Kolbe.
With a K?
Yep.
Yeah. Awesome.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah. So he's...
Our buddy Scott named his son Max.
Right, after Maximilian Kolbe.
Yeah.
So I love Maximilian Kolbe for many reasons, but one of the things that I think the thing that stands out is his love and desire to be with the Immaculate. With mother.
Mary. I'm glad you said that. I was really hoping that's where you were going to go. Because he's just, like, oh, so big on Mary.
Yes. And, I mean, he was like, St. Augustine was in the 4th century. You know, St. Maximilian Kolbe was in the 1900s. You know, he died, I think, 1941 in World War II. So
right.
He was like, you know, in our parents' or grandparents' lifetime. Mm-hmm. Grandparents' lifetime. I mean,
yeah.
You know, so he's a very modern saint. JP2 loved him. You know, canonized him.
Right.
You know, went to his cell in Auschwitz. Is that right?
Auschwitz.
Auschwitz. Yes. And declared him the patron saint of this difficult time, this difficult age.
How long does that last?
I don't know. I mean, just our time.
It could still be going on.
Yeah, it could still be going on.
So he's like the patron saint of time right now.
Of our difficult time.
Oh wow.
Like the difficult time that we have, the difficult age that we are. So, One of the things that was awesome about him...
I don't even
him,
know what that means. That ooh, could, like, I mean, could mean a lot.
Could mean a whole lot.
That's so, very cool. I did not know that.
One of the things... So, as a kid, I really like this, too. As a kid, he was, like, a troublemaker. He's very mischievous.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
I like it when saints are like that.
Yeah, me too, because it's more relatable.
Like jokesters, right. Yeah.
So, and his mom, who was a very devout woman, wanted to be a nun, but couldn't afford to go to the convent, because at that time there was like these, it cost a lot of money to do it. So she prayed for a devout.
Also, you can't have debts. If you have any debts,
right.
You
and
can't
she was,
join.
She was a very, yeah, you gotta pay very, them off. Very poor woman. And so she prayed to have a very holy man, that God would introduce her to a very holy man. Ended up being Julius Kolbe, who is a very devout holy man.
Was, yeah.
Was.
Probably still is.
Yeah, definitely still is. So she told him, like, how are you supposed to be holy if you keep being mischievous? Like,
she told that
to Maximilian Kolbe when he was a little kid.
Right.
And it, like, hit him. And that's when he went and prayed, and he actually asked our mother, like, how am I supposed to be holy if I continue to live like this?
Right.
And that's when the only time that he had like this vision, but he had a vision of Mary.
So how old is, how, do you know?
It was in his, like teens.
Okay.
Like early teens, like 8, 9, 10, or 11, somewhere around in there.
Okay. So not teens.
Well, or 10, 11. That,
okay. Technically,
oh, yeah,
that's
okay.
A different thing.
Right.
Technically 10 and 11, you are a teenager, but every time I tell someone that, they look at me and like, no, you're wrong.
Right.
Well, it's in the tens, okay?
Right. So, okay, so he's young.
Okay.
Okay. And Mary...
So I didn't know if he meant like 19 or
no,
5.
No, because he went to the Franciscans at age 12.
Bold move.
Our mother appeared to him and mm-hmm. held two crowns in her hand. One was white. And one was red. One, the white one being purity.
The other one martyrdom.
Martyrdom.
Mm-hmm.
And asked, which crown would you want? And he said, if possible, both.
I don't think I would have done that when I was 10.
There's no way I would have done that. So,
which one has more chocolate?
So she said, she gave him both.
Uh-huh.
Which it ended up being true, obviously.
Another bold move. Good move.
Yeah.
But bold.
So... He became a priest, and in his homily, they said he had a long list of things that he was thankful for, or a lot of like quotes, things that he was thankful for. His last thing that he said was love to the point of victimhood. Ugh, that is manly.
I had to stop and think about that for
love
a second.
Love to the
yeah.
point of victimhood.
Mm-hmm.
That is manly.
That is manly.
Another
almost sums up manhood right there.
Right. I mean, that's
the cross.
Right, that is the cross. I mean, die
that's,
to self.
That's what manhood is.
Right.
Is the cross.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
That's good.
Another thing he said was...
I like that.
I love that.
Yeah.
Another one he said, he was talking in a homily, he said, once again, Christ reigns. Once again, the enemy has been defeated. Which I loved because
so
it was
raise
like,
your glass.
Yeah, exactly. We're on the Lord's team, the winning side, so raise your
yeah.
glass. I mean, that's why I love that. So his mother, you know, obviously...
Just before I came over here, my wife Pamela was asking me, have you guys picked a patron saint for the man show? And I told her, well, we've kind of, you know, fooled around with maybe Saint Jose Maria Escrivá
mm-hmm.
being the patron saint. And she said, well, you should... Maximilian Kolbe would be really good for your show.
Right.
I didn't know he had said that, because that
yeah.
ties in perfectly with the...
He was also, like, you know, some kind of the patron saint of radio.
Yeah, yeah,
like,
he is a patron saint of radio.
Right.
He had a magazine.
Right, oh, the Immaculata, yeah, the Knights of Immaculata.
Uh-huh, and he started, you know, his own devotion to Mary.
Oh, yeah.
Pamela is a member of the...
The Knights of Immaculata.
The, well, it's
Immaculata
the Militia. Militia right. Immaculata, yeah.
Yeah. Same thing, Knights
yeah.
of... Yeah. So, it's just, yeah. But so through his process of becoming, you know, through his priesthood, he realized that gradually he discovered that in order to be a saint, one must conform to the likeness of Christ, a likeness which is authenticated in the perfection of the Immaculate.
Mary. Yeah.
So that's why he had such a love and devotion to Mary.
Mm-hmm.
He's also, you know, he said, never be afraid to love Mary too much. because you can never love her as much as Christ did.
Yeah.
Which is, like, such a powerful statement.
I actually said that to a Protestant once. I didn't say it just like that, but they were asking me about Mary, and mm-hmm. I said, I'm just trying to love her as much as Jesus does. And he looked at me, and he did not know what to say.
Well,
and I counted that as a victory.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So, with St. Maximilian, like...
Because that's what it's about. It's about winning when it comes to apologetics.
No. That is not true. That is not true.
Sadly...
That is not true.
Sometimes, you know, it's like in the heat of battle, you kind of forget that that's not true.
Right.
I know I forgot.
Well, it's yeah, it's like, a pride thing.
Boom.
Right.
I've beaten you down.
Yeah. But, I mean, all you're trying to do is you're just trying to win souls. You're just trying to plant seeds.
Plant seeds, yeah.
And
get out of the way.
Right. But.
I just forget in the middle of, you know.
In the heat of battle.
Especially when someone says something about Mary. It's like.
Don't talk about my mom.
No, I'm not kidding. Like.
Right.
It raises the hair on the back of my neck. It's like, what did you say?
Right.
You
know? Exactly.
I just need to, like, no, Jesus.
Yeah. So St. Maximilian, trials, he always thought trials didn't weaken. They fortified his sainthood.
Yeah.
Which he was covered with, you know, sicknesses. His tuberculosis. Like, he constantly fought sickness through his... priesthood.
And, you know, he was in the concentration camp. I mean, that's right, what everybody knows him for.
Okay, so we'll talk about that real quick.
We're running out of time.
Okay, so he got captured by the Nazis. They released him on the vigil of the Assumption. The Feast of the Assumption. But then he got captured again.
Dang.
And so he went into the concentration camp. And within the concentration camp, they had an escapee. Somebody escaped the concentration camp. And one of their deals was to set the tone. If somebody escapes, they pick 10 random people and they put them in the starvation bunker.
Uh-huh.
To die. To you know, make sure people don't do that. So they picked 10 people. One of the guys said, oh my gosh, my wife, my children. And, you know, he had like this John 15:12 come over him. No greater love than this, than a man should lay down his life for another man. And he volunteered
to take me.
Right.
Did he survive, though?
He was the last one. They had to inject him with carbolic acid because he survived. He was like 12 days or 10 days.
He wouldn't die.
Right. So, just a manly man. St. Maximilian.
That is manly. You can't starve me to death.
Right. St. Maximilian Kolbe, pray for us. St. Augustine, pray for us.
All right, guys. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next week.
Bye-bye.